Welcome to the Sober Cafe podcast. I'm Jerry Vandiver. Today's show is part two of our interview series, Three Cups of Coffee and the Truth, introducing you to artists in recovery as they share their experience, strength, hope, and some great tunes. Sober Cafe podcast is sponsored by sunlightofthespiritmusic.com. Sunlight of the Spirit Music is the only store on the planet selling only CDs from artists in recovery. In addition to all the usual genres of music, they have the largest selection of 12-step and recovery music available for your spiritual toolkit. If you like what you hear on the Sober Cafe podcast and would like to support artists in recovery, please visit sunlightofthespiritmusic.com. We're grateful for Sunlight of the Spirit Music's support in making this show possible. Tonight in Studio V, we're talking with Jim W. Jim's journey out of his own personal hell and into a community of recovery has become the substance of one man's walk. 12 songs chronicling the amazing changes the 12-step recovery program has brought into his life. Each song is dedicated to one of the 12 steps. Exploring the simple spiritual tools that have helped Jim and countless others to break the chains of addiction, these songs, these stories, shed light on one man's walk out of despair. Hey, Jim.
Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well, and thanks for having me.
We're glad you're here. Tell me, what was it like for you in your life before sobriety?
Well, the final days of using and abusing were incredibly dark and incredibly hopeless and incredibly lonely. It hadn't always been that way. From teenage years until my late 20s, there were a lot of good times. Parties, travel, lots of good music. But eventually, as is the case with people like me, the thrill goes. The medicine stops working.
But the medicine stayed there.
Indeed it did.
Tell me about when you hit rock bottom at that point.
Well, my last day of drinking so far, I mean, I could go out tonight. My last day of drinking occurred on January 29th, 1984, in New Orleans, Louisiana. I had tried on my own to quit drinking for several years. I'd kind of raced through a 12-minute marriage and decided that the real answer to all my problems would be exercise. So, like everything, I ramped up over the course of a couple of years and got myself into marathon shape. That particular day, I ran the Great New Orleans Marathon and went on what I hope is my very last bender of my life. Can't tell you what happened after the race, but I do remember this, where most people head for the water tent, I headed for the beer tent.
Wow.
And it was just another day of a lot of exercise and a lot of drinking before noon, and it just kept on going.
Hmm. And how long have you been sober now?
I've been sober 22 years and some months and some days now, so it's been a good while.
Great. So, after you had that binge from your marathon run, you finally decided that was rock bottom. Can you go into that a little detail?
I can. And for me, it was peculiar. My father's an alcoholic. Every branch on my family tree is alcoholic. Every leaf, every bud. And when you construct it and you look at when I looked at my history, there was just no way that I was not going to be alcoholic. This particular post-binge moment, though, occurred when I laid flat on my back in a bathtub of lukewarm water, still in my marathon clothes from the day before, unbelievably sore from the actual physical exertion. The fact that I resupplied with alcohol instead of water hurt me a lot. I was as sore and as sick as I think I've ever been. And when I came to, I kind of looked up and saw the ceiling in this pretty crummy apartment in which I was living. I asked God for help. And I'd never done that before because I was a great non-believer. Mm. I looked at the world and all the misery and was pretty sure that no loving God would allow such things. So I took that train. And then I changed directions that particular morning, and much to my surprise, the desire to drink was removed immediately.
Wow!
Yeah, it was
what
like
a great story.
It was like one of those burning bush moments that you read out of the Big Book, and I'm grateful for that. But what I wasn't anticipating was the misery that waited for me without alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought the problem was actually the alcohol. I didn't realize over all these years that the alcohol was simply a mask for my pain.
Right.
So when the alcohol went away, it was an incredible rough time for me. And I don't want to sound too cheesy or anything, but angels and that sort of thing found me and eventually got me to my first meeting. But it was a real ugly spell between my last drink and my first meeting.
Aha. Uh-huh. So sometime, it actually sounded like that time in that bathtub, you started to turn yourself into working on step three without even knowing it, turning your life over.
For me, step one, two, and three happened quickly,
okay.
And I'm not sure exactly which happened first. And at this point, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
It was all about surrender.
Okay, great. Well, interesting you say that, because there happens to be a song on your CD about just that very subject called I Surrender. Let's listen to it now.
My way was the anthem I lived by. Lying, cheating, ego feeding, anything to stay high. Lately, my dead end street turned worse. This road leads to an institution, a jail cell, or a hearse. Put myself through the mill.
Great song, Jim. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Thanks, Jerry.
You know, you just mentioned that steps one, two, and three kind of happened for you at the same time. And it takes a lot of courage to examine the choices we made in the past and how those have changed our life's course. Now it's time to go to step four. How did you gather up the courage to the fourth step?
Well, courage came slowly for step four. I fought my sponsor and the program every bit of the way.
To take inventory?
I didn't want to do that, and I don't think anybody in their right mind wants to. I certainly was not in my right mind at the time. You know, I had a lot invested in hanging on to my secrets and my sick ways. I came by most of it honestly, and none of it, I don't think anybody wants to look at it in themselves. I certainly didn't want to look at it in myself. The segue for me was a smart sponsor who, in the fourth column, and if you're around the book in the meetings, you'll know what the fourth column is. Over on the far side of the page, I saw that in the inventory, no matter where the resentment started, it ended up being fear-based. And I can remember clearly, from the bottom of my heart and soul, looking at my sponsor the first time and saying, you know, Brian, I see this fear thing, and I'm here to tell you I'm not afraid of anything. Well, as it turns out, Jerry, having finally done the work, I ended up being afraid of everything. And that's how out of touch and ass backwards my universe was. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I mean, I've heard other people make the same statement. But step four and then step five as well, I mean, that was the first real breath of fresh air I caught, because those two steps in conjunction allowed me the opportunity to get out of my isolation and join the general population. Mm-hmm. And it was a big relief to do that.
You finally did get the courage up to take your inventory. Then.
I did.
Right. And the song on your CD, One Man's Walk, that's dedicated to step four, taking inventory, is called I Put It on Paper. Let's give a listen to it now.
Seven deadly voices all inside my head took away my choices. I went where they live. Pride, anger, sloth, and greed, envy, lust, and gluttony. I look high, I look low, through my skin into my soul. Then I put it on paper. It was clear that my fear was the cause of all. My defects are lessons waiting to be taught. Pride, anger, sloth, and greed, envy, lust, and gluttony. I look high, I look low, through my skin into my soul. Then I put it on paper. Was clear that my fear was the cause of all my tears when I put it on paper. I conclude from my inspection, shame led me. I look high, I look low, through my skin into my soul. Then I put it on paper. It was clear that my fear was the cause of all my tears. When I put it on paper, I look high, I look low, through my skin into my soul. Then I put it on paper. Seven deadly voices all inside my head
right. Thank you for your perspective of taking inventory, and I put it on paper. That was very, very nice. Well, let's talk about your CD in general here. How did that come about? How did the creation of the CD, One Man's Walk, come to you and find a birth and find a home?
Well, in the big book, it is suggested once or twice that maybe some of us need more help than the 12 steps actually offer. Mm-hmm. I am in that group. I ended up going to a therapist who was based in the 12 steps, and I was maybe 18 or 19 years sober, but I still had other issues to deal with, and all the fourth and fifth steps in the world and the eighth and ninth steps in the world were not giving me any relief in those particular areas. So I saw this therapist, and at her suggestion, I went and saw Dr. Patrick Carnes, who's one of the foremost lecturers and authors on addiction. I saw him at Vanderbilt University here in Nashville, and he was essentially talking about the sixth step to me. So he didn't package it that way. That's the way I heard it at the lecture. And I went home and I wrote the first song, and I thought it would be a standalone song called My Old Disguise, which was is the sixth step song on the CD. I went and played it for my therapist. She cried, and I interpreted that as a good sign. So
usually the therapist doesn't cry, it's the patient. That's great. I like that.
She cried, and I thought, geez, this is something. At the same time, I was working at a local treatment center doing drug and alcohol counseling work, and I'd seen a lot of speakers and a few people doing music, recovery music. And I got the idea, what if somebody actually put their experience in the steps, just like in a straight line, 1 through 12, not necessarily out of the book, though I think mine is close to the book and certainly from the book, but it's my perspective on those steps, and I don't speak for AA or anybody else in the program. This is just my experience with it. So I spent the next year and a half writing the songs, working with my AA sponsor, who also kind of oversaw the project. He's a musician as well. And there were lots of writes and rewrites and more rewrites, until finally I got it into a spot where I thought it told the story in a linear fashion.
Wow,
1 through 12. And
that's your story.
It's my take on the steps.
Right.
And my experience with the steps.
Excellent.
So, and other people seem to plug into some of it.
Good. As they should. In fact, I highly recommend the CD for anyone who wants to have another step to help them through. This is a great way to go. You mentioned a minute ago that you had done some counseling. I know you've done quite a bit of service work with your music. Tell us a little bit about that, would you, Jim?
Well, this past weekend, I'm happy to say I was part of a great group of Nashville musicians who performed at the first annual Kentucky Recovery Fest in Bowling Green, Kentucky. That is a great recovery town. If you haven't been there, get there sometime. Those people are rock solid in their recovery, and it was a wonderful event. There were hundreds of people there at an open air amphitheater, and usually the things that I do are not in that large of venues. The following day, I went to a local treatment center and performed for a small group of about 40 or 50 people, and frankly, it was more satisfying than the larger crowd. Absolutely.
Yeah.
More chance to stretch out and tell my story, and it gave me more time. But I like to do both. And music seems to be a good way to communicate my experience in a different way, so you don't just get another great recovery story.
Right.
It's different.
Good. And I think that's helpful for those folks out there, too, that are listening right now, for that matter. Okay, from a personal and artistic standpoint, how's life now? Tell me about it.
Life is good. I'm referring back to this past weekend. I was talking to one of the guys that I work with as a sponsee, and this might have been one of the best weekends of my life.
Wow.
I'm, 51 years old. I'm 22 years sober. None of the dreams that I had at 20 came to pass for me. And yet, I think my life is way better and way more solid than any script I could have written for myself. It's not what I would have written, but it's better.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. No wonder your life feels so good, to feel that it's better than it ever dreamed to be. That's great. We're just about out of time. So do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
You know, I've got to be honest, Jerry. I think I know less in a lot of ways about recovery than I ever have. But I just do. I try to keep it simple. I do what they suggest. Most of the time I actually take those suggestions. And I'm able to stay sober. I have a marriage that's over 20 years old. I've got a great life. I mean, it's pretty easy right now, and I think it's all directly attributable to the steps and the fellowship and the sponsors and help from God, of course.
And the music, too.
And the music.
Great. Jim, it's been a great pleasure having you here tonight. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
If you'd like to purchase Jim's CD, One Man's Walk, please visit sunlightofthespiritmusic.com. And now, in closing, here's Jim W. with At the End of the Day.
At the end of the day, I play back the tape. At the end of the day, I own my mistakes. I promptly made amends to co-workers and friends. And I thank the Lord for the drink I didn't take. At the end of the day, I do a review. At the end of the day, I'm filled with gratitude each time I do the right thing. I feel my spirit rising. I won't achieve perfection, that's okay. At the end of the day, reconcile like a ledger sheet. No debt owed, no one owed me. At the end of the day, I play back the tape. At the end of the day, I own my mistakes. I promptly made amends to co-workers and friends. And I thank the Lord for the drink I didn't take. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, end of the day, at the end of the day.